Blog Talk Radio.
And this is another, really part two of yesterday's conversation of the NOLA Rundown. Jordan and Jason looks like you're in. Is that correct?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Two consecutive nights we managed to get the whole, well, I guess now three quarters of the gang in. That's amazing.
Miracles do happen.
Yeah, apparently. Every now and then. So I was thinking last night after our conversation, and then led me to do some more research and just some of the stuff that we talked about last night. And I don't think we got to really talking much about Alex Okafor. And it seemed like, you know, news outlets and all that were kind of quiet about him. So I had to actually go and do some actual research to find out what the heck was going on. And maybe that's just because I don't pay close enough attention, and that's possible. But anyway, so he signed a 2-year, approximately $10 million deal, coming off his season-ending injury. So let's just first and foremost, do you like the deal? And this can go for either of you. And is he the guy opposite Cam Jordan, or is there still someone else?
He was a breath of fresh air last year. Like, he really performed well last year in his deal. But I worry about him and his effectiveness coming off an ACL injury. So I don't want to put all of our eggs in just one basket as far as trying to find a permanent fixture opposite Cam Jordan. That's kind of why I really wanted the team to go after Vinny Curry in free agency, but he went to Tampa Bay instead. So with them just only signing Alex Okafor, I still think that defensive end is a huge need going into the draft, because you have no idea how good he's going to be coming off that Achilles injury.
Right. I love Okafor. I think he's a great player. It's just like you said, he's coming off that Achilles injury, and you don't know how he's going to if he just comes back 90% to what he was. I mean, it's going to be a great player opposite Cam Jordan. And, coming through the draft, you can add, if the tight end you want that's not there at 27, and Sam Hubbard's there, grab Sam Hubbard. He'd be a great player to meet you with Okafor and Hendrickson. Forgot about him. He's a pretty solid player, too.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's not like the other options are just trash. I mean, you know, like you said, Hendrickson, when he's been healthy, that's what I call him. I just call him I think that's funny. Maybe y'all don't. I don't know. anyway. him. You know, he's still on the roster. I realize that he's mostly played out, well, at least the last couple of years, mostly played outside linebacker. But, you know, he's a guy who can at least potentially rush the passer, especially on passing downs. So it's not like the cupboard is just completely bare. It's just a lot of, you know, injury, whatever you call that, just liable to injury type guys. It's almost a money ball approach to rushing the passer opposite Cam Jordan. It's like, maybe between all of these guys, we can get, you know, one solid edge rusher. And that's kind of the way I look at it. I think that's kind of the way the Saints have looked at it the last couple of years.
And you know what helps that out? And Dominican Sue. It doesn't matter who's out there.
Yeah, so we talked about that a little bit last night, but so let's talk about that from a money perspective. Is that really the best way for the Saints to spend what would basically be the rest of their cap room?
I mean, sure, make it happen.
I don't think so.
What's up?
I mean, as I said, I don't think so. Like, Ndamukong Suh would solve a ton of problems, particularly the getting the pass rush from the defensive tackle spot. But I feel like it would be best spent, like I mentioned last night, is getting like a Jonathan Hankins, who's a great run stopper,
mm-hmm.
and then using more mm-hmm. money to get someone like Eric Decker or Jordan Matthews as your slot receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you're able to fill more holes
right.
than you are just one.
Yeah, and that was the other thing I wanted to talk about that I was have been thinking about and researching a little bit, realizing so the Saints kind of almost lowballed, if you will, Willie Snead. They gave him the lowest possible qualifying offer for a restricted free agent. And then I believe it was the same thing with Brandon Coleman, or they didn't even give him a tender, so he becomes an unrestricted free agent. So, one way or another, the Saints, I mean, they've got to bring in, you would think, at least one receiver in free agency if they don't, especially if they don't get Snead back. But even if they do, like just for depth, right?
Yeah. I don't see Snead really coming back.
I heard they're meeting with Alan Hearns. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I saw something about that.
I'm fine with Hearns.
But
nobody's seen what he's capable of with an actual quarterback throwing him the ball. I mean, he's got good size.
That's
he's
a good
young.
Point. That's a good point.
why not? The only concern that I see is that in comparison to Jordan Matthews and Eric Decker, his third down catch percentage was at 40%, which is about 5% lower than what Decker and Matthews were operating at.
Mm-hmm.
And if you sign him, you're pretty much signing him to be that slot guy. So I would assume so. You know, you're signing a guy who catches a third of the passes thrown to him on third down. Like, that's not
mm-hmm.
too comforting. But, you know, he did have over 1,000 yards in catches just, like, two seasons ago in 2015. So, he can put up the numbers.
Right. Well, so, yeah, I mean, anytime you start comparing a receiver or looking at potentially bringing in a receiver, and this is especially true with receivers, you have to consider context, right? Like who, like you just mentioned, Jordan, like who the heck is throwing him the football? And like you said, there really hasn't been anybody. And so, I mean, he would obviously have an immediate upgrade in terms of who's throwing him the football, a better system than where he's coming from, a better taught system, better overall playmakers around him, or at least an offense that knows how to use them better. And then there's just the simple fact that Drew Brees makes everyone better, right? I mean, he always has for basically his entire career. So in my mind, really, as long as that whoever that guy is, whether it's Alan Hearns, or, I mean, even if it's bringing Willie Snead back and then drafting someone in the second, or I guess we don't have a second round pick, but, or do we? I don't know. I forget. Like a third or fourth round pick or something like that, you know, even if that's, you know, kind of, your approach to it, if you're the Saints, like, that guy is going to be better automatically just because of the system he's playing in and because he's playing with one of the two or three best quarterbacks to ever play the game, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, hopefully Breeze is still capable of making studs out of no-name receivers. But, we want to surround Breeze with as much talent as possible. That's why I'm,
looking
at, yeah. I mean, but, you know, tight end, it looks like we're still going to have Kobe Flaner next year. So tight end's going to be shaky. So that obviously is going to be a need in the draft. And then wide receiver, if they don't sign someone like, you know, Hearns or Decker or even Jordan Matthews. So, you know, there's definitely some holes that aren't glaring but still need to be filled.
Yeah, absolutely. And then one other thing that I know Jason really wanted to talk about in relation to the Saints and free agency was re-signing of offensive tackle. Well, it'll probably be a swing lineman now, but formerly offensive tackle Jermon Bushrod, your boy, right?
Right. Only thing that's changed since he left and came back was he was a shitty starting offensive tackle last time, and now he's just a shitty backup tackle this time. That's the only thing that's changed.
Tell us how you really feel.
What was that?
I said, tell us how you really feel.
Oh, I mean, well, he's not getting paid as much as he was before. He followed Cromer up to Chicago to try to save his career, but even he couldn't do that. So, come on back to New Orleans. Give you a one-year deal. Don't suck. I miss Calamity already.
Well, so, and I was looking at that too. So doesn't, and I don't know how to pronounce the guy's name, unfortunately, because it's a hard name to pronounce. But isn't however you pronounce Laribius, whatever? Doesn't he kind of become that sixth lineman?
Who?
I don't know how to pronounce. It's like Laribius, something like that. You know who I'm talking about, don't you, Jordan?
Yeah,
Laribius.
Oh, Laribius? Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Lord, now the West Coast guy can't talk.
Well, you can't talk either, so whatever.
Mind your business. Laribius.
Yeah, Uncle anyway,
Rebus.
Him.
Yeah, he was a backup center and backup long snapper last year. So, yeah, I'm surprised they actually haven't re-signed him.
Oh, yeah,
he's
not on. That's right, they haven't. Okay.
Oh, no, this guy with his knowledge.
Hey, shut your mouth. He was on the depth chart that I looked at, but now I'm looking at the free agency tracker, and you're right.
And
he's not.
Good old Bushy. Bushy's the sixth guy. Old Bushy. Bushels with fun.
Yeah.
He's
and we
garbage.
Also don't,
can we get Calamity back?
A...
Please?
Yeah, probably not. I don't think that's how those things work.
No takesy backsies?
Usually not. Yeah, so just looking at it, guys that were losing, like you said, Raphael Bush, and then haven't re-signed Laribius, however you say his name, Michael Motti. Don't really have a fullback on the roster, or at least not either of the two who actually played last year.
Who would you rather come back?
Between Lyon and Kuhn?
Yeah.
I don't know. Kuhn... Kuhn at least knows what he's doing. Like, I think you just wanted me to say. You just wanted me to say Kuhn. You
no, Zach Lyon's like a fullback. Like, he's like an actual fullback.
Yeah,
I'd rather have
actually. I was looking at some draft stuff today, and I realized that San Diego State has a fullback coming out, and I'd rather go that direction. Yeah,
because
guys who got fullbacks at San Diego State actually know how to play because they actually use a fullback.
Oh, okay. Name some fullbacks from San Diego State that are good in the NFL. I'll wait.
That's a stupid argument because no one uses fullbacks except for like three teams.
But we should definitely get one from that team.
Whatever, dude. Anyway, I mean, the point is, you're kind of right. It doesn't really matter. Like, just sign someone and make it work because they're only going to play about, even with the Saints, they're only going to play about 10 snaps a game. So,
you know, it should
least,
also be like, if offense. You're a fullback, you should have like the big neck roll. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's got to be, like, mandatory.
I agree with that. That should be required.
Like, you got to have the big neck roll.
Dude, I don't think I've seen a middle linebacker in, like, the last 5 years probably have one of those.
Shoot, you would probably go back longer than that.
Yeah, probably. Fullbacks, I think, yeah, but not middle linebackers.
Zach Lyon had one for a little bit, huh? He had the old... Hey, the high one, huh?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
That was, man.
Yeah, well, that was my point, at least.
That's throwback.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's Throwback Tuesday.
Yeah, Throwback Tuesday to go with Taco Tuesday. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah,
it's really supposed to be Throwback Thursday, but, you know, whatever. Yeah, Taco Tuesday, Throwback Thursday, whatever. Who's even listening anyway? So, something we also didn't talk about. We can talk about for a minute was the passing of Tom Benson, the Saints and Pelicans owner. What are y'all's thoughts? What's like one lasting memory of Tom Benson for you?
That he tried to move the Saints after Katrina.
Bitter much.
San Antonio Saints?
Yeah, like that's... So, like, if you're a Saints fan, you either have your memory of Tom Benson... is either post-Katrina or it's pre-Katrina. Because pre-Katrina, he was an asshole. Post-Katrina, he was actually like a hands-off owner who did whatever it took to build a contender. So you either have him talking
coaches.
Yeah, that's true. But he's also allowing the GM to hire Mike Ditka.
Well, I mean, you had Ditka, Moore, and I mean,
Hasler.
You had Phillips. You had the Phillips family down there. And then Hazlitt. Hazlitt was ridiculous. He was like a cartoon character.
But you know, there was a time where it was floated up that because the dome wouldn't fill up, that the Saints would have been renamed from the New Orleans Saints to the Gulf Coast Saints, kind of like the New England Patriots, to pull more people in to go to the games. Then there was always the flirtation with San Antonio, because that's where Benson had a lot of ties to. And then it was actually Paul Tagliabue that kept the Saints in New Orleans after Katrina. And then you kind of saw a different type of owner after Katrina, and whenever the Saints knew that they were staying in the city, you know, he took a risk hiring Sean Payton. He let them do whatever they wanted, really, in free agency, and let Loomis do his Loomis math and bring people in. And and the reason why he's loved is because the Saints now have a Super Bowl. So it's either you love him for bringing a contender and winning a Super Bowl, or you hate him because he threatened to move the city countless times. I mean, move the team from the city countless times.
Yeah.
Man.
That sounds like you're still a little bit better.
That dude got that FEMA money after Katrina, and he didn't care about anything anymore. That's why he was a great guy. No, but seriously. He dealt with a lot of asshole coaches, I'll tell you that. And a lot of dumb, like, personnel staff. Like, when you, what was Koherick, what was his name?
Mm-hmm.
Was a moron. Like, you had that, you hired, oh man, ignorant people. Like, just, you hired people that didn't have anything to do with, like, football. Like, and you did that for the first 12, 13, 14-ish years, you know, until about Randy Mueller, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
That made, like, coherent decisions, and then, like, he pushed him out the door because he had a power struggle with somebody. We're not going to name any names or anything, but he's still here. And so, yeah, Tommy, old boy, yeah, I shed a tear. I'm not going to lie. When he saw he passed away. Because it sucks, man. It's, he took over the team when, like, I was basically, I was born. So that was the only Saints owner that I knew. So that brought me a little tear in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's good y'all actually have a heart.
oh man, he's been boogieing all up there, man, right now.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Even his first, I bet you the first thing he said whenever he got up there was, "Hey, y'all know this Falcons boy 28-3 leading the Super Bowl."
And then the second thing was, "Hey, you need a Mercedes Benz? I got you."
Yeah.
You want to be on Fox News? I'll put you on Fox News.
Oh, boy.
And, like,
well,
can
you
believe either, too, like, looking at his will, that he wrote out Rita and the grandkids, too, from his will?
Yeah. He put it all in his crazy sugar mama thing. Oh, wait, no.
Crazy.
That's not called sugar mama. It's, oh, man. What's the youngest
Dale
chick called? When, no, I know what her name is, but what's, like, when you're older guy, he gets himself a younger piece of ass?
Sugar daddy?
And we say, yeah.
Gold digger?
Oh, yeah,
gold
he left
digger
it all to his gold digger. There you go.
Yeah. Kanye rapped about that.
She's now officially the owner of both the Saints and the Pelicans.
Oh man!
And y'all talked about him, Benson, you know, earlier in his stint as the Saints owner, bringing in guys to run the football team who didn't know football. Of course, the Pelicans also have a football guy, you know, as one of the top executives in their organization. So it's not like things changed a ton even over time. But that being said,
this might be This might be an awkward time, but you think Gail's getting on Tinder anytime soon? Just saying.
Oh, my gosh.
She needs a little piece on the side.
Somebody needs a sugar mama. Hello.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, boy. why don't you hit her up, Bernie? All right.
Hey, man.
Knock the dust off of it, Burns.
You got to do some things, man. You guys want to be on Fox?
Hey, go whisper in here.
Yeah, well.
Swipe right.
Anyway.
Oh,
yeah. Hey, you want to actually let me ask the question I was going to ask?
You're welcome. Okay.
So speaking of the Pelicans, this is something that I've been dying to ask Jordan and Jason to some extent, even though I know he won't give me a coherent answer. But, you know.
Lies.
With Anthony Davis basically tearing up the NBA the last, you know, month and a half, 2 months, some people have mentioned that, you know, he might actually be able to challenge James Harden for NBA MVP this year. So is that realistic? What would it take? Is it completely dependent upon the Pelicans grabbing a top four playoff spot, and will that happen? So I don't know. What do you think? What do you think, Jordan?
They need to make the playoffs first and foremost. They
right.
need to make a little noise in the playoffs. And I say that noise for them would be making it past the first round. And Anthony
mm-hmm.
Davis needs to continue doing what he's doing. But with how James Harden's doing with the Rockets and having them number one in the West and seemingly the favorites since Golden State got beat by the Spurs last night, it's going to be hard to beat James Harden.
Yeah.
Now that you're the New Orleans Pelicans, it seems like they pretty much have their number this year. If not for a couple of BS calls in a couple of games, like it could have been the Pelicans 3-0 up on the Rockets this year.
Yeah. I'm still, I don't know, saddened. No, can't really be angry, man. I guess unless I'm angry at the quote unquote basketball gods, but just that, you know, the fact Boogie Cousins, you know, gets this season ending injury with 8 seconds to go when the game's already won, you know, I'm still kind of upset about that. And I don't know. I feel like blaming the Rockets for it. Yeah, I feel like blaming the Rockets for that. But
you want to post about it?
Of course, that's
all. Post about it.
Well, that's all. That's also when, you know, right after that was when Anthony Davis went on this borderline historic, you know, tear. So I don't know. I mean, we wouldn't be talking about him as an MVP candidate, I don't think, without that moment. So still upset, but it's led at least to the most dominant version of Anthony Davis. So I guess that's, there's a silver lining at least, right?
But guess what? We won tonight, and we moved from the 7th spot to the 5th spot.
Yeah, well, that's the Western Conference for you, right?
I know, isn't it crazy?
Yeah, it's like Fury Road out there.
It's pretty fun, actually, like when you look at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably.
I had a feeling this season was going to be pretty fun, this NBA season,
mm-hmm.
just with all the little mini super teams everybody was forming. Like, a lot of
mm-hmm.
people didn't like it, but I kind of, like, was digging it. Like, it was the first time in a fight. It was the first time since really since New Orleans got a basketball team that I was really excited going into a season. And, like,
mm-hmm.
that was that first time before, like, Jordan was in the league, you know? Like, that was the only time I was really excited to be, like, have a NBA season coming up. And it really hasn't disappointed because, I mean, you have, instead of having 16 teams, you have 18 pretty, like, you know, above 500 teams.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's
What was that?
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, I mean, it's been fun. Been a fun season so far, and there's still, what, about almost, a little less than a month to go, so we'll see what happens. Jason, are you still on social media? Like, do you actually post anything ever?
No, not right now. I'm just working back.
No. Okay, cool. What about you, Jordan?
But guess what? Daniel Bryan's back.
Yeah. Yes.
That's great.
Yes. 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 Yeah, I'm on Twitter. You can find me at diabsoule, DIABSOULE, and you can read whenever I write stuff for In the Valley Show. That's I write about beer.
Yes.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that's all the time we got. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
Peace.
Peace.